What's going on, everybody? It's Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. And in today's show, I want to discuss what's been happening around the NBA. It hasn't really been much movement, so I don't have any breaking news or anything along those lines. But I wanted to talk about what Rockets GM Daryl Morey recently said on his appearance at the Dan Patrick Show. So let me go ahead and just play this quick clip so you can listen to what he said, and I can dig deep into this.
You just look at his ability to generate wins and championship probability over time, and you basically break that down. And obviously, you don't need all the numbers. You can watch as well and see that. But if you basically isolate that and also look at the career he's had, frankly, I think it's at this point become a bit of a big margin, actually, where he's come out ahead. I know that's a little controversial.
All right, now, you know me, I'm a pretty fair dude. I don't get caught up in the moment. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I call a spade a spade. I speak the truth. I just wanted to dig deeper into this right now, you know, because for me, you know, you heard what Daryl Morey said, right? You look at LeBron's ability to generate wins and championship probability over time. Obviously, we know what he did in Cleveland, how much of a difference he made in Cleveland. You know, him being in Cleveland was everything to the city, the franchise, and so forth. But it's like to say that he's the greatest ever and it's by a large margin. It's kind of like blasphemous a little bit, right? You know, so that's what intrigued me to kind of really dig deep into this, because it's something that I watched. They talked about it on First Take. They talked about it on First Things First. And it's kind of like one of those conversations that you'll always, you know, now you'll kind of always want to really dig deeper into it. I talked about it months ago and I didn't really do a great job. So I wanted to revisit it. I wanted to do it the right way. So let me just start by saying this, right? Here we have, for the first time in NBA history, someone who's made the argument very interesting, right? For years, it's always been, it was Jordan, it was clear-cut Jordan. Then you had everybody else. And I'm going to say this just to kind of take a sidestep, really. With all due respect to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, Jordan is the greatest. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mentioned him because he doesn't really get the props that he should get. And that's just, like I said, that's an argument for another day. Some guys like Colin Coward, he said, you know, he kind of omits him as being the greatest ever because they want to draft the lottery as far as genetics and DNA goes. But before this whole LeBron James thing came up, we didn't really have many people. It was kind of like Mike and then it was everybody else. And depending on who you are, depending on how old school you are, many people are just kind of like, look, you know, Mike's the man, Mike's the best and so forth. And or somebody may say, hey, Russell's the best or Wolf's the best and so forth. But you know, to have LeBron James, he made it really intriguing because here's a guy we're looking at. He's Karl Malone's height, right? But he plays like Magic Johnson. I've always said that he was a bigger, faster, stronger Magic Johnson. He was never Michael Jordan. He was always more Magic than Mike. And I think maybe it's because the media was so excited with a kid wearing 23, a high-rising kid, a kid that can do a little bit of everything. So you're always quick to say, hey, he's the next Mike. Remember, it's been a few next Mike. We've had Stackhouse. We've had Vince Carter. Like, anybody from UNC, you know, you were kind of like labeled the next Mike or whatever the case may be. And that's really unfair. But, you know, digging deeper into this, you look at it and you look at what everybody says. LeBron is, you know, he wrongfully critiqued. I think the way people go at him is just insane and crazy what they say about him. And you know, I'm going to get back to Daryl Morey and his argument in a little bit, but I wanted to really dig deeper into some other things. And I think for LeBron to be who he is, to be a guy that came in with all the expectations that he's had, and, you know, he put the city, he put the franchise on his back, and to be the face of basketball and to be doing what he's doing in year 16 is incredible, because most guys that are falling down and you know, kind of, you know, their careers on the downside, LeBron seems like, God damn, it's like he's predicted to be MVP. It's like his upward trajectory is still crazy. It's like going up, 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 and it's like he's not stopping at any point in time. He's on a Mount Rushmore basketball, no doubt about that, right? You know, what drives me crazy with Daryl Morey, what he said, is that it's such a huge gap. It's like, it's not a huge gap. Like, how could it be such a huge gap between LeBron and Michael Jordan? I mean, you're just saying, like, Michael Jordan, like, it doesn't compare. It's kind of crazy just for him to say that. Like, I could get it if he says, hey, you know, he's the best basketball player, but he's like, it's a wide margin. And you got to remember, he's coming from an analytics standpoint. I, for one, you know, I don't really dig too deep into the analytics. I'm more of an eye test kind of guy. If you did it and we saw it and we know, like, you know, coaching, you know, analytics is something that's new and introduced to the game. I mean, Pat Riley was using it back in the 90s or late 80s, early 90s. If I'm not mistaken, he used it, but it really wasn't this in depth. And as a GM, this is Daryl Morey's job to use analytics. But you know, for instance, you know, Jordan's like the highest rated play ever, you know? So it's kind of like, and it looks really, it really doesn't matter, obviously. But, you know, let me get back into this whole LeBron thing, right? LeBron is on a Mount Rushmore basketball. LeBron is definitely one of the top five players ever to play this game. LeBron is probably right after MJ. You know, it's MJ, then it's LeBron. And it's just no shame in that. You know, and I'm sure he'd sit there and probably say, you know, as a competitor, he's probably like, yeah, I think I'm the greatest ever. I would expect him to say that. But, you know, I think when you look at the totality of everything, I don't know if you if people really understand, like, what this argument means. For example, right, I said LeBron's on Mount Rushmore. Let's talk about MJ, right? MJ was something that was out of this world. He attacked both ends of the court with the same intensity. Hence the whole, you know, all-defensive nine-time, first-team all-defense honors. You know, he scored the ball at a high clip. He was a crazy defender. Like I said, you know, obviously all awards and accolades. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, he was everywhere. You know, cat quick. You know, he's black cat. Hence his quickness and the nickname. He was a winner. He did in an era when it was really brutal. I know people talk about his early career failures, but I mean, who the hell was going to get through those 86 Boston Celtic teams? Not very many people. Arguably the best front line in the history of basketball, Bird, Parrish, and McHale. I mean, the guy sat out the whole season with a broken foot just about and comes back to score 63 in them. He didn't have any help. Unless you're like a true historian of the game, I don't think you can really mention anybody else on that Bulls team he had with him. He didn't have anybody, but he single-handedly almost beat that team, you know. And these are just me going over Jordan memories and things like that, you know, just to kind of really, you know, state the case out there. He wasn't beating that Pistons team. Isaiah, Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, you know, Vinnie Johnson, obviously, Rodman. He wasn't going to beat those guys. He definitely wasn't. Jordan, his era, you know, his era was tougher. He had a tougher road. Jordan's Eastern Conference isn't LeBron's Eastern Conference, right? And you can sit there and you can look at that, right? He does a lot of things that are better than LeBron James, right? And let's just state he also won all six of his finals appearances. People sneeze at that. Oh, just because he won six, you know, he it doesn't help the argument. Yeah, it does help. You know, to win all six of your finals and to never go to a game seven, that says a lot. And the average 41 in the finals against the best team in the league that year with the MVP, talking about the Phoenix Suns. So that's pretty impressive, right? Then you can go back to LeBron. You know, let me finish with MJ first. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around because I really want to make this argument. And this is just my opinion, my humble opinion. I'm coming with my own personal reasoning and my reasons for saying what I'm saying. You know, MJ is something we've never really seen before. You know, everybody can say, oh, like Dr. J and David Thompson. No, he's not David Thompson. He was David Thompson to the next level. You know, he's a little bit bigger. He had bigger hands. He could do a little bit more than David Thompson because that's the comparison that, you know, that was Jordan's idol. That's what Jordan looked up to. And so a lot of people would say because of the Skywalker references. And then, of course, with Dr. J, there's no disrespect to Doc. Jordan was not, Doc wasn't Jordan. You know, ABA Doc was something special. And I'm not going to throw, you know, I'm not going to sit there and even play myself and say anything like that. But ABA Doc was special. But I just think MJ was a better player, could do a little bit more than Doc could. And I think any basketball pundits would probably really agree, right? But when you go to LeBron, LeBron's also something we've never seen before. As far as the physicality of it all, you know, physically, like they mentioned today, he makes you think along the lines of Shaq and Wilt, guys that are just like, dang, physically imposing. And for a guy to be who he is, 6'9", 260, 265, maybe 270, depending on who's talking about it that day, it's kind of crazy to make you think about, like, damn, he's doing all this stuff, and he's Karl Malone, just same height as Karl Malone, the same weight, he's just a little leaner. He's not as bulky and, you know, strong as Karl Malone was. But it makes you sit there and say, wow, this is crazy. It's amazing. The stuff that he does at his size, it's just incredible. Like, just to look at him, the way he sees the court, the way he plays the game, it's something we haven't seen since Magic, right? I'm not comparing him to Magic, and I'm not saying anything along those lines. So any Magic fans, any Magic Johnson fans, please don't kill me. You know, Magic is Magic. Magic is another one that's in a world of his own and a league of its own, and we'll never see another of. I don't think we'll ever see another MJ. I don't think we'll never see another LeBron, I don't think. You know, I mean, I could be wrong because of the way medicine, the way the games advance, but LeBron is something that's really different, right? And, you know, this may shock some folks, and I hope not, because I'm just having a conversation. He does some stuff that's better. He does some stuff better than MJ, right? So people just kind of have this God complex with Jordan as if LeBron can't do anything better than him, and I find that to be lie. You know, it's crazy. It's blasphemous. You know, he's a better playmaker, I think. I think he's really a better playmaker. You see, you know, obviously, court vision. I don't think he's a better defender than Mike. And Mike does a lot of things better than LeBron does. But LeBron also does things better than Mike. So, you know, people are, oh, no, it's not even close. No, let's not even be disrespectful to the man. You know, we know who he is. He's one of the two best players to ever play the game. And I'm ranking him two. And I'm going to get to Daryl Morey's argument in a little bit. But LeBron is just what he does for the game. Just to be in tip-top shape 15 years in, it kind of reminds you of that run Kareem had. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't really start to decline to like year 18 maybe. And that was like a, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going off the top of the head, but if anybody's listening, you can kind of Google the stats. I think Kareem went from like 24 to like 17, then to like 10 points his last couple of years in the NBA. I mean, I could be off by a couple points here and there, but I think year 18 was 24, year 19 was 17, and then year 20 was like 10 points. That's when I was just like, yo, I got to get out of the game. But I think what he's doing now to still, you know, have such a pep in his step, you know, to put, you know, to do everything that he's doing, it makes you go, whoa. It's incredible. You know, it's really cool. He's going to surpass Jordan statistically. And numbers never really tell you a full story because there's a lot of players in NBA history that don't really have the numbers. And you may, you know, most people just go right to the numbers and say, well, he was better. You know, kids now are going to go, kids that are 10, 11, you know, because LeBron's there, Jordan, obviously, they'll sit there and say, no, he was way better than him because they're going to look at the numbers. And, you know, obviously YouTube, some kids may run a YouTube, some kids won't. But he's going to surpass Jordan statistically. Remember, he had a three-year head start as well. And MJ took breaks that took away 4.5 years of his career. But I will say something, and I mentioned it before when I podcasted, and I'm going to mention it again, and I'm going to keep mentioning it. He's also going to be the first player in NBA history with a career triple-double. So he's going to have 30,000-plus points. He may eclipse 40,000 at the rate that he's going. He possibly can. I mean, year 16, you figure out with his career scoring average at 27 a game. If he can get in the right situation, we can just kind of play the rest of his days out. He's going to, you know, in kind of be in a, you don't have to be in attack mode in year 19. That wouldn't be ideal. But if he can kind of get in a situation, we can kind of really come and still give you an easy 23, 24 in his later stages of his career. I think he has a chance to eclipse 40,000 points, something obviously nobody in the NBA has ever done. But he's also going to be the first player to have a career triple-double, which is an amazing feat in itself and something that should be applauded. That shows how much of a better all-around player he actually is. You know, it's okay. It's okay, Jordan fans. He's a better all-around player. Mike is still Mike, but LeBron does some things that are better than Mike. And it's debatable about the all-around thing, but I just think on an offensive standpoint, I think, you know, he looks for everybody else to get their shots off first, then he goes and he attacks. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's just astonishing to see that he's doing what he's doing at such a high rate. To be doing it the way he's doing it is just pretty incredible. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, though, right? MJ stepping up in the postseason when games matter is what sets him apart, I think. I think it took him a while to get over that hump as far as winning. You know, you got to go through the Pistons, and you got to go through, obviously, those old Cavs teams in the 80s weren't nothing to sneeze at. Mark Price, Brad Daugherty, Larry Nance, Elo, and so forth. Those guys were really, really good. But once he got over that hump and he finally was able to get past the Cavs, you know, Boston was on that downside, and, you know, finally getting past Detroit, you know, he never looked back. I could sit and argue with you right now and tell you that those Bulls teams may have won 8 straight. And I mean, they would have beat those Rocket teams. I know Robert Horry's been on the record of saying Hakeem would have gave them fits. I'm going to go on the record, my small platform, and I'm going to say, listen, if MJ went head-to-head against those Rocket teams, it may have been a knockdown, drag-out battle, but I think the Bulls come out and they win that game, right? Obviously, the center position, Bill Cartwright does not have a way to neutralize Hakeem Olajuwon. We're not even going to sit there and act like that's going to happen, right? So Hakeem Olajuwon dances all over Cartwright. But he'd have to be Herculean in his efforts and score 40 a night in order to beat those Bulls teams. I know Vernon Maxwell had a hot hand, and Kenny Smith can get hot at any time. But I figure you get Scotty on one of those guys, you find a way to, you know, you Horace Grant can kind of contain, I think, Otis Thorpe. And I think they beat those guys, honestly. Well, that's if Horace Grant decides to stay, because I forgot he did decide to go to Orlando. So that's if they can keep it, if they keep things intact and everything still works out the same way, like MJ doesn't quit and they play straight through. I think they may have gone to a game 7 eventually, but that's, it's no shame in going to a game 7, right? And I think they do that, but I think they went 8 straight, which is something that hadn't been done since the Russell Celtics teams. But it's pretty impressive nonetheless. And I think MJ being able to step up the way he stepped up, you know, averaging 41 in the finals against Barkley and the Phoenix Suns that year. It was incredible. It's like, how could you not love what he was doing? How could you not love it, you know, what he's done and how he performed? And I always like to say, you take MJ's 4.5 years that he probably missed total. You know, you figure out the retirement, the first one a year and a half, then the last 1 to 3 year difference. That's 4.5 years. You think about those stats if you threw him in and what it would mean and what it would be. It's just kind of crazy. But when you go to LeBron, you know, he's failed to live up to some expectations at times, as weird as that sounds. You know, I know the playoff fans come to mind, the 2009 Cavs team that seemed, you know, they had the best record in the East. It was, I think, it may have been the NBA. They were, like, you know, just kind of running through everybody that season. It was LeBron, Mo Williams, you know, Boobie Gibson and those guys. And there's some other players, a bunch of role players. So I'm sorry to be disrespectful because I don't remember their names on the top of my head. But it seemed like that matchup with the Lakers was going to happen. I know Slam Magazine had the cover, and it was like, oh, LeBron versus Kobe. It was kind of like a foregone conclusion that we were going to get that finals matchup. But it would have been an awesome finals matchup. I think it would have been cool to see the game's two big best players on that stage. You know, you look at the 2010 Heat team that lost to the Dallas Mavericks, and that Mavericks team was good, but I don't think they should have beat that Heat team that was assembled to, you know, to conquer the basketball world. And in 2013, you know, lost to the Spurs. I thought that one was kind of like, wow, like, you guys, it seemed like they didn't want to be there anymore. It just seemed really crazy. So I think Jordan doesn't let those happen to his teams. I don't think Jordan lets that happen. You know, people criticize LeBron because of the jumping to different teams and the way he's been handling free agency and things like that. That's the way the game works, man. Cut it out. You know, he's controlling his own destiny. You know, you can't take nothing away from a man if he wants to control his own destiny, right? But those things stand out to me as far as the failures go. To close the gap, I think, for it to be like 1A, 1B, I'm not going to lie to you. His 2016 championship was really, really good. It was crazy. I mean, nobody saw that coming. 73-9, it was just like, wow, they were going to run through everything. And obviously, Draymond got suspended. But, I mean, Golden State Shield could have closed that team out. That's what I say. Let me see, man. He'd have to win two in L.A., if you're going to ask me personally. I think he'd have to win two in L.A. to close the gap. But I still don't even think that's going to even do it. I just think we need to let it be. I think we need to let this argument be, look, it's okay if he's the second best player of all time, right? It's okay if he's the greatest all-around player of all time. It's okay. It's okay. He does some things better than Mike, people. It's all right. I have no problem about that. Like, I have nothing against that. He does some stuff better than Michael Jordan. It's okay. Like, we still love him the same, and we're not going to stop loving him because he's an incredible player, somebody that we enjoy watching. And definitely as his career gets to the tail end, it's kind of like, wow, you know, 16 years in, you know, I'm glad I watched him when I watched him and appreciated the greatness that I've seen. But I also know what I saw as a little kid as well. I also know what I saw, you know, as a teenager. You know, the first time I saw MJ in person, the Boys Club gave us tickets. And I remember it was a game at the Garden, obviously, and MJ came. And it was just, like, incredible. You remember that feeling. It was 92. It was 1992 in the midst of their second run. And we had tickets, and the Garden was packed. Just when the Garden was the Garden. That was like that, you know, it wasn't during the playoffs, obviously, but it was during that Pat Riley time. So, you know, it was a different feel in New York. But I'll never forget seeing Mike, MJ. I haven't had the chance to see LeBron up close. But, I mean, come on, man. You know, you see him. You know what he's about. So, I'm going to disagree with Daryl Morey. It was the moral of the story. Is the moral of this podcast is I'm going to disagree with him. I'm also going to say MJ, you know, for a lot of other folks, like, It's not what some folks make it out to be. It's not like, yo, it's not even close. No, it's close. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like, yo, he's right there. It's close, right? He's got a seat at the table. The conversation's being had. The conversation's being made. You know, he made the conversation really into it because nobody else, honestly, prior to him, I mean, you can think back and you can tell me something different if I'm wrong. I have no problem being wrong. The conversation's never really been as detailed. Nobody really dug in deep and nobody really cared to dig in deep until LeBron came. And it's crazy to see because it reminds me, I guess, when my dad was coming up and he would say, like, you know, everybody thought other people were different. And then it's like that one time when it's like 1 year, everything just started to change and everybody's like, yeah, Mike's the best ever. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of hits you. But I go back to Daryl Morey to end this, man. He's entitled to his own opinion. You know, but to say it with such confidence, like, it's such a wide margin, it's kind of crazy. You know, yeah, LeBron's bigger. You know, the one-on-one argument's invalid. Another thing, please, the philanthropy, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, I get it. Some people love the fact that Bron is putting a lot of money into Akron and doing a lot of, and that's incredible, man. By the way, people, please stop hating if he wasn't the first person to put a school out there. Who cares? The fact that he put a school out there, and you know, the fact that some people like to really just, oh, they just, people irk my soul on the internet sometimes, man, because it's just like, you don't have to be that way. Like, don't get like that. The man is doing what he's doing. People are so quick to criticize somebody for it, right? You know, and we get it. Like, MJ is less public in his endeavors as far as philanthropy goes. But that doesn't have anything to do with what makes somebody the best. You know, socially, he's off the charts. LeBron, I'm talking about. Socially, he's off the charts. But we're talking about a strictly basketball argument. And Daryl Morey, I get it. He's a stats guy. And he loves analytics, and this is his thing. But I just, and the numbers won't do it for me. The eye test is more so the old school way. The eye test is what I saw, what a lot of other people saw. And the eye test is what's going to do it for me right here. You know, am I going to sit here and say that I'm marveling and I love what LeBron's doing? Of course. I'd be a fool and I'd sound like I hated to say I don't appreciate what he did or what he's done. But, man, it's just amazing. But, yeah, man, that argument is settled. He has some work to do in L.A. I don't know if he'll ever get another championship in L.A., but I think another championship or two can really make it a little bit more interesting. You know, I know that six finals losses on his record, it's a blemish, and people make it out to be something, you know, he can't have six finals losses on his record to be the greatest ever. I get it, man, but you know how many people never really get to the finals, so it's kind of one of those things. But I guess people are going to sit there and say, oh, well, the East was weak and it was terrible. So, you know, he was supposed to do that. But to each his own, man. That was just my humble opinion. That was me just talking, you know, kicking game and figuring it out and saying what I feel. I really think that we should just appreciate his greatness and let him be great and live in the moment. His career is not over with yet. So we have a little bit more time left before we can really put a final lid on it. But, I mean, what he's doing is remarkable. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Don't need to sit there and try to compare him now. You know, he's still painting his masterpiece. He hasn't slowed down yet. His masterpiece is still being painted. So appreciate it. Enjoy it. You know, Jordan's masterpiece is established. Jordan's is one of one. Right? LeBron is also going to be one of one. But, you know, when it's done, we can sit there. We can put them next to each other and we can compare. But, you know, I know my vote's going to go. But everybody's so quick for this narrative, oh, who's better than MJ, man? You know, it may not ever happen. But we may not ever see either one of these two guys again. But just appreciate the greatness. Enjoy it. You know, enjoy it and appreciate it. Because, again, like I said, I'm saying, again, I repeat myself, we may not ever see this again. We may not ever see a guy of his type again. So, and that's where I stand with that. But, you know, thank you guys for tuning in for this special episode on LeBron and MJ. Thank you so much. If you guys are on social media, please follow me on Instagram. I'm at Sports Drama Entertainment, all one word, at Sports Drama Entertainment. On Facebook, I'm Jamon Bolton, obviously. And, you know, please, like, subscribe to the podcast. I'm on 10 different platforms. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Google Play. I'm on iTunes. So that's usually most of the platforms that people use. But please, man, feel free to tune in. I'm also on the Anchor app, so if you want to just go there, you can leave comments, you can leave whatever it is you want to leave, criticism, good, bad, or indifferent. Please let me know what you feel, what you think. I'm here for it all. Again, I'm Jamon Bolton. This is the Jamon Bolton Show, signing off. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll be back with you guys soon. Peace.